This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shan Ling with Philip C. Let's talk about this MOU, this first for Malaysia, because yesterday evening, the federal government and Pakatan Harapan signed a memorandum of understanding for political stability and transformation. Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri said the MOU would form a stronger bipartisan approach to politics and will cover six key areas.
Number one, the strengthening of the COVID-19 plan. Number two, institutional transformation. The third is parliamentary reform. The fourth is judiciary independence. The fifth is MA63. And finally, the formation of a coordinating committee. Now, Ismail signed on behalf of the government, while PKR President Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, Amanah Chairman Muhammad Sabu, DAP Sekjen Lim Guan Eng, and APCO President Datuk Sri Wilfred Tangau represented PH. Earlier, PH leaders had said that the deal did not mean that they had joined the government, but it was a move to ensure reforms are put in place. So, does this signal a new era of political reform for Malaysian politics? And how long will this peace deal last?
So, for more on this, we have on the line with us YB Wong Chen, who's MP for Subang and, of course, PKR member. Good morning, Wong Chen. Now, how did this deal come about? Was it initiated by the Prime Minister, or was it initiated by your side, Pakatan Harapan?
The Prime Minister initiated this via the ministers Hamzah and Taqiyuddin. They approached Saifuddin and Anthony Loke. I mean, Anthony Loke and Saifuddin are the main drivers of these negotiations on behalf of the PH. They sent a draft agreement, which we are assuming is now the CSA that Muhyiddin worked on. From the PKR side, Saifuddin asked YB William and I to dissect the document. I looked at reforms, YB William gave legal inputs, but you know, the CSA had inherent problems. It was based on best efforts, it had seven reforms, but not very legalistic, and did not really require any specific legal action. So after looking at the agreement, I decided I would draft a new document, a completely new one, and I used a conditional milestone format, separating the main body terms from the reforms. So we put in 14 reforms. Shah Rezan was roped in to do a Malay translation. He did a good job on this. And then we presented the draft to the PH the next day. YB Govind proposed we add in a committee. He also contributed a lot of legal views on this. So at the end of the day, we had a draft of 20 reforms with milestones and a monitoring committee. So it's ready and good. And then we sent it to the government on the 30th of August. That's the start of it.
So you said 14 reforms, they went to 20 reforms, but what came out was six key areas. Can you reconcile what the differences were?
The six key areas has about 19 reforms in totality. Yeah. So some were dropped, some were added in. ME63 was added in last minute. There was also issues regarding the request for harmony bill that was dropped. We asked for greater independence for the commission. The election commission was also dropped. So there was, Philip, it's the way of negotiations. You get some, you lose some.
So, like you say, you lose some. What was the biggest thing you lost?
I think the core issue that a lot of people are pointing out now was the fact that we, in our draft, we asked for a VOC. And this is reflective of the vote of confidence. That's reflective of the Agong's advice that the new government should do one to solidify legitimacy. But then, to be fair, I mean, the VOC is a motion that is tabled by the government. It's not a vote on no confidence table by the opposition. So, the government just would not budge on this issue. They were not giving to us, nor even apparently giving to the King's request. So, I believe that the negotiators at the last minute, they managed to get and claw back some milestones, some committee issue in return for dropping the VOC.
So these milestones and timelines, if they are not met, let's say if something was promised in this November, December, would this whole agreement then be reneged then?
Yeah, so basically both sides have a right to walk out. If we do not carry out the warranties that we gave, the representation that we gave, and if they don't carry out reforms, then it ends. What is really unique about this version compared to the CSA is that we drafted milestones, conditional milestones, and we created a committee to carry out these reforms. So say, for instance, tomorrow we start appointing the new committee members, and then they will immediately talk about the reforms that we want to do, and say, and it meets once every 2 weeks. So say 2 weeks from now, the report comes back that, no, there's been no progress whatsoever, and that, we feel that this is really bad, since no progress has been made, then any side can walk out from the deal. So What we've really devised is a system of check and balance in a situation where there's no trust amongst the parties. So you can imagine how difficult that is.
Now, many of these reforms were put on the table first by, you know, our previous Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So why was that deal rejected but an agreement reached with Ismail Sabri this time?
Well, to be very blunt about this, the CSA of Muhyiddin was pursued by two MPs from DAP, as far as we know. There could be other parties involved in this. But it was basically doomed to fail, as it was without the knowledge or consent of Pakatan Harapan. Imagine if the CSA was actually signed by by a handful of DAP MPs. What would have happened? I mean, Muhyiddin would still be Prime Minister today. And PH would probably be irreparably broken in terms of trust amongst each other. I don't think even DAP as a party was fully united behind the actions of the two MPs. This MOU is very different, of course. It was considered and endorsed by the PH leadership. I also like to believe that it's much more substantial and thought through. As I say, YB William and YB Gobin provided legalistic input. But to be completely fair, until we get a copy of the CSA, we can't really compare to this MOU that we just signed yesterday. So I would just say that the main difference is the full buy-in and participation of PH compared to the CSA.
But Wong Chen, we are also made to understand that certain, I would say, allies of your have not agreed to this, right? Namely, Pejuang and Warisan?
Yes, that's true. But they are supposedly falling under the big umbrella. They're not part of Pakatan Harapan, right? Whereas APCO was brought in about 3 weeks ago to be Pakatan Harapan members, so they were part of the negotiation. What should be done is really the government should approach them directly for talks. That is Pejuang, Warisan and Muda. With the MOU signed with us, we hope that the remaining opposition will also ride on the bandwagon and continue. But it's really up to the government to approach them. We can't negotiate on their behalf, nor do we have the mandate to do so. And at some point, we were told that the DAP was briefing Warisan of developments and Amana was briefing Pejuang. Whereas PKR, we briefed Muda and also kept Dr. Mazli in the loop over the negotiation.
So tell us more about this coordinating committee to make sure that these reforms are in place. What's the composition? How often do they meet? You know, who chairs it?
Okay, so basically it's a 5-5. I don't think there's a chairman allocation, so to speak. So 5 MPs from the government, 5 MPs from the opposition, and they have to meet once every 2 weeks, so every fortnight. Now, their job is to say, look, we have milestones for certain reforms. Their job is to say, look, what progress are you making towards the milestone? And when the first milestone hits, have these reforms been carried out? At any point, if any of the so-called reforms that we requested has not been met, then obviously they will ratchet this up to the senior leaders. And then the senior leaders can then decide whether to terminate or end this or extend the period for reform. You know, I think this flexibility is where it is so essential. And the monitoring part is so essential because there is just, you know, I repeat this again, there's absolutely very, very little trust between us and the government.
So who are the 5 members from the opposition side sitting in the committee? Presumably Ong Kian Ming and Tony Pa won't be there.
I don't know about that, but they haven't decided yet. But, you know, obviously APCO will have to be there as part of the Pakatan Harapan. So then it falls to the remaining 4 slot. Who's going to be there? I think the decision hasn't been made yet. But we hope to at least put in 1 or 2 lawyers there to make sure that it's done properly.
But Wong Chen, you know, there are questions about this MOU. Does it hinder your ability to be that very important check and balance in Parliament?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is a clause in there. I think, if I remember, it's clause 9 that states very clearly this does not disrupt the fact that we are the opposition and that we will carry out our opposition duty, which is to, you know, fight bad laws or bad bills that is presented, provide checks and balance on corruption and abuse of power. I think the key point is this. A lot of people don't realise the MOU is not the end of or the start of peace. The MOU is a tool to ensure that the political process of reform starts. And it provides a period of about 9 months to 1 year of political stability. You know, if things don't go well, again, both sides can pull out because this is an MOU. It's not really a strict agreement per se. But the work is the important bit. The work to start monitoring reforms, I think, is the one that we're looking forward to. Mm.
And let's just talk about the work, right? Because we need to talk about milestones. Let's say come October, November, right? What do we expect to see in the milestones that were kind of promised in this enshrined in this agreement?
Okay, so we have reforms which are legislative in nature and administrative in nature. So the administrative ones are the easier one to pass because it just requires either the Speaker or the Prime Minister making an executive order, right? So we expect the parliamentary reforms on administrative orders to be completed within this year, you know. So basically, we're looking at you know, things on parliamentary reforms primarily. Now, for the big legislative issues like anti-hopping laws and also Parliamentary Commission Act, or what we used to call it, Parliamentary Services Act, those would require somewhere between 6 months to 9 months to do. That's just purely drafting, putting it down through the legislative process and then going to Parliament. And you must note, and this document you have to read carefully, it doesn't just talk about tabling it, tabling and approving the legislative reform.
But Wong Chen, I have one important question, and that is, you know, Malaysia is not known for its bipartisan approach when it comes to anything with regards to Parliament. And this is, of course, a new phase. I mean, realistically, how is it going to be easy working with the government?
Let me put it this way. It's very easy to not try. It's very easy to take sides and say, look, let's just fight this out, right? What is really unique about this situation is that it's political reality. The government is not very stable, even though they have 114 MPs. Realizing this, I think in the over you know, the bigger picture, the bigger environment is that we're facing COVID-19. It's not in the interest of the opposition, after attempting to take over government and failed, to try again and again. So there is this general feeling that we should try to get political stability, and yet the opposition require these basic reforms, in particular parliamentary reforms, in order to do their job properly. So at one point, I think the leadership plus some of us who were in the drafting team all decided, let's have a go at this. It's easy to break any deal. It's whether you can create a system, which is what is contained in this MOU, to enable some trust building and to see an eventual result of some reforms. So I think we're willing to go and explore this. We should not have fear to negotiate this thing, you know, but we shall see it again, right? It's really at the final stages. It's always up to how we negotiate and how we treat our enemies, our political enemies on this matter.
All right, thank you for your time. That was YB Wong Chen, MP for Subang, telling us what the MOU is about and also, honestly, the challenges that they face. Because bipartisan approach in Parliament is honestly something very new for us Malaysians. But hey, maybe coalition politics is here to stay.
Well, it depends on the results.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.